O lotus-eyed Lord, as baby birds that have not yet developed their wings, always look for their mother to return and feed them. I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. As small calves tied with ropes await anxiously the time of milking, when they will be allowed to drink the milk of their mothers, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. As a morose wife whose husband is away from home always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. Purport. A pure devotee always yearns to associate personally with the Lord and render service unto him. The examples given in this regard are most appropriate. A small baby bird is practically never satisfied except when the mother bird comes to feed it. A small calf is not satisfied unless allowed to suck the milk from the mother's udder. And a chaste wife whose husband is away from home is never satisfied until she has the association of her beloved husband. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare My dear devotees, this is a very important text in the Bhagavatam because it does explain to us a little bit about the mood in which we can perform our devotional service. Now, some of you are not yet attentive, and I would request all of you to give me your full attention. We will go for about 9 o'clock, so I request your attention for 35 minutes. It's intense to give 35 minutes attention, but you can do it. I know it. Yes, it may be even better if you come closer, because it will be difficult for you to listen. And the acoustics is a little bit spread all over. It's important for me to see you and see how I can serve you best. Thank you very much. This is much better. Thank you so much. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes this particular verse in order to explain how a devotee should chant his or her rounds. The verse, I will repeat it a little bit for you, says that, O lotus-eyed Lord, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service to you. This is actually the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. We pray, actually, when we chant, My dear Lord, please allow me to render service to you. Now, examples are given in this shloka, which tell us a little bit how this mood of longing or yearning to do, again, direct service to Krishna is. How does it look like? The first example is given of baby birds who have not yet developed their wings. That means they cannot fly and look for food on their own. So these baby birds always look for their mother to return and feed them. This is how a devotee looks for Krishna. Please, Krishna, come. Please give me the opportunity to render service to you. Have you seen these baby birds? When they are in the nest, you can't really see them. You only see a big mouth. Have you seen? In Africa, we can see. In Kazakhstan also, we see the little baby birds. They are only mouth. Please, come. Please. I need you. I need you to survive. Otherwise, I'm dead. This is how a devotee looks for the Lord, for Krishna. The next example is given, just a small calf tied with the ropes await anxiously the time of milking, when they will be allowed to drink the milk of their mothers. In the same way, I look for you, I wait for you, I need you, my Lord. In Braj, we often see this, the calf is a little bit away from the mother, and it really wants to be near the mother and drink the udders. So they do this, they keep the calf a little away, because then the mother feels, oh, my calf, and gives milk through her udder, and then one can milk the calf very nicely. But let us take the practical farming technique a little and put it on the side. The example says that the calf is constantly thinking of the mother. When will the mother come and give me the milk? Now the third example is the last example, which tells us how a devotee wants Krishna. As a morose wife, morose means sad, whose husband is away from home, always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects. In the same way, I always yearn or desire for the opportunity to render direct service to you. So this is the verse. The verse tells us giving three examples how we long for Krishna. And the third example is really the most intense example or the most relevant example, because in the two examples which have been given, that is the bird and the calf who long for their mothers, there is not yet an idea to render service. See, the bird just wants to have something from the mother, and the calf just wants to also have something from the mother. Only in the third example, there is the idea of rendering service, like the wife who waits for her husband who was long away in other towns maybe. She waits there in order to give him something, to cook for him his favorite dishes, and maybe to relieve him from the anxieties of travels. In India, they put the husband on a swing and they swing him so that he feels very relieved. But I think this is not done in modern times so much any longer. Anyways, but the idea of this example is rendering service. Now, when you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, there are a few things which must be there to give life to the Hare Krishna Mantra. There is lifeless chanting and there is chanting with life. Lifeless chanting means when you just pronounce the syllables of the holy name and you just chant, but your mind is not really there. You do not have the right mood in which you chant. I think many Hare Krishnas, about 80%, chant lifeless Hare Krishna japa, because the mind is absent. That's my analysis. I also often chant lifeless japa, unfortunately. The life Krishna does not come when you chant a lifeless japa, where your mind is not there and where you are not calling out for Krishna. Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, and also our Srila Prabhupada, have said that when you chant, there is a chanting where you just pronounce the letters of the alphabet. Ha, a, ha, e. But Krishna is not present. It's called the alphabet chanting. It's a linguistic exercise, but not a spiritual exercise. Only when you chant with the right spirit, with the right mood, is Krishna present and feels attracted. I think we all as human beings know this. Who of you has visited India, please? Many, many. You know when you are in Vrindavan and there are the shop owners who call for you, "Hey Prabhu, hey Prabhu." You feel it's almost like a disturbance. He's not really calling for you, he calls for your money. Come and buy my dhotis and my beebags and my zaris, you know. You feel it more as a disturbance, and you say, maybe later. But you go on and continue in your journey. So in the same way, when a devotee does lifeless chanting, Krishna does not feel he should come. He does not feel like that. Only when the devotee chants in the right spirit of rendering service to Krishna, then Lord Krishna actually is present. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has given an example, and I must first of all know Do you know what is a medicinal capsula? It's the things, you know, you put the medicine inside and then you close them and then you swallow it, and the idea is that the medicine should pass through the pipe and come to the stomach, where it then dissolves. So for this, a little capsula is created so that it can be, it can go down the pipe into the stomach. In the just the same way, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra contains Krishna. Now there are capsulas, medicinal capsulas, who look like the medicine, but there may be poison inside. From the outside, it does look like the medicine, but inside there is cyanide kali. You know, cyanide kali, you just need to have a little pinch and you are gone. In the same way, we can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but we can chant with offenses, and then it's not Krishna who is there, but it is only the alphabets are there, and Krishna is absent. So it is very, very, very important that in our spiritual practice there is the right spirit, the spirit of rendering service to Krishna. Only then is Krishna present, and it's not an empty capsula, or maybe a capsula where something else is in inside. Srila Prabhupada once said that everything in spiritual life depends on our mental condition. There's nothing like an automatic process. You really have to be there present with your mind. And he gave an example. See, we all have heard that bathing in Mother Ganga is purifying. But it's not purifying if you have another mindset. Do you know that in Calcutta every morning 1,000 prostitutes take their bath in the Ganga? Of course, this is the cheapest way to take a bath. But after this they will continue to stand and go and attract customers to themselves. They have not become purified by their bath in the Ganges River, because their mental condition was not, I want to be purified. Their mental condition was, I want to just take a quick shower so that I can go to satisfy the next customer. You know, so everything in spiritual and in life really depends on the mental condition. And that makes a spiritual life something which is very, very, how do you say it in English? Anspruchsvoll. It means it places a demand upon us. Srila Prabhupada once wrote about this, that when he said, the essence of our spiritual practice is the transformation of the heart, or the change of heart. It's important what happens here. It's more important what happens here than what happens in your frisura. Do we say frisura or haircut? We say haircut. It's more important to work here than to work in the external things. Hare Krishna. You are smiling. Is this correct what I'm saying, or is this incorrect? It's a whole process. Now to come to the right mood in which we practice our spiritual sadhana, there are two things which help us to really turn to Krishna. One is when we have the motivation to become saved from danger, then we really turn to Krishna. The other is a motivation of love. Let us first analyze the first motivation, that we turn to Krishna when we are in danger. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave one verse about this mood where he said, Ayi nanda tanuya kinkaram patitam mam vishame vavam budo. Tava kripaya para pankaja stita dhuli sadrisham ichintaya. It means, oh my Lord, I have fallen into the terrible ocean of birth and death. Please get me out of here. And again, fix me as one of the atoms on your lotus feet. Have you ever drowned in an ocean? No one? I mean, not totally drowned, but... my dear devotees, I once had this experience where I was innocently swimming into the ocean and all of a sudden got into a current and then into high waves. And I remember I was actually thinking that this is my end. I had planned to die in Vrindavan, a glorious devotee death, but here I was dying like an ordinary German tourist in the Atlantic Ocean. My pride was totally leveled to the ground. And I did remember that at that time I began to pray for Lord Krishna to help me, because I really felt that this is the end. I was already under the water and I was starting to lose my consciousness, and it was terrible. I don't want to tell you all the details because you would most probably be entirely shocked. It was really terrible. And I remember in that time I really prayed to Krishna, my dear Lord, please either save me from drowning or take me to you after I am drowned. I was really praying at that time, and in the mood of this verse of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who says the material world is dangerous for us. It's a dangerous ocean of birth and death. My dear Lord, please take me out of here. This is really what he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the first motivation to turn to Krishna. In your evaluation or in your thoughts, what do you think about this motivation? Is it good? Is it sufficient? Is there maybe a problem with this motivation? A possible problem? Nishingananda, what are your thoughts?
It's good, but it's not the best. Because as soon as the fear or the reason for the fear, it's an accident. Mm-hmm. As soon as the accident is dissipated or it's gone, then you could.
So Nishingananda Prabhu says it's all right, but it is not the best, because it could be that after you are out of danger, then you feel no need to turn to the Lord any longer. My purpose has been served. Ho gaya. In Hindi they say ho gaya. It's done. It's done. It is better to turn to Krishna out of love. But that's very difficult. If I would say love Krishna, our love doesn't work like this, that we tell someone love so and so. It seems it has to develop naturally, isn't it? So in the same way, we all know that love of Godhead is very important, but we can't command ourselves to now love Krishna. You cannot force love. I think we all know this. We also cannot force ourselves to love. We can't force our children to love us. We can't force anyone to love somebody else. And we especially cannot force our own selves to love Krishna. So, obviously, from the verse which we discuss, it's best really to love, but that's very difficult. That's a high command. I would like to read you now Srila Prabhupada's purport. I should have done this earlier, but I would like to read it now. A pure devotee always yearns to associate personally with the Lord and render service unto Him. The examples given in this regard are most appropriate. A small baby bird is practically never satisfied except when the mother bird comes to feed it. A small calf is not satisfied unless allowed to suck the milk from the mother's udder. And a chaste, devoted wife whose husband is away from home is never satisfied until she has the association of her beloved husband. My dear devotees, I feel that in this verse and the purport, a wonderful secret is given how to develop love. How do you think love starts? Very important. Okay. Did you ever fall in love? Oh, this is a forbidden question in the temple. Don't ask such questions, Maharaj. Give the Bhagavatam class. I think we don't need to answer this, but we know. Something comes into our heart, and then we all of a sudden are very much moved. We may be a little bit confused also with this feeling, and we don't know what to do with it, but certainly we feel enlivened by it. Now my life has a purpose. I know what to do. I will give this person as Maha Sandesh. And then let's see what happens next. You know, this is how this feels, and or how this comes in. I believe the essential principle here is that all of a sudden you give attention. When you give attention, from this attention giving, you can actually, when you do give attention, you can start to develop love. A little child needs to be entertained. It's a very nice little child. Hare Krishna, little child. oh. Love really starts from giving attention. Hare Krishna Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj. We are just welcome in our midst. Please give Maharaj a cushion, otherwise it is a little cold. Maharaj, I'm just reading a verse from the Bhagavatam, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes as a verse where it is explained how to chant the Hare Krishna mantra and what mood to chant it. And because it's really so nice and we are all enjoying the shloka from different aspects, we want to make a present of the shloka to you this morning. O lotus-eyed Lord, as baby birds that have not yet developed their wings always look for their mother to return and feed them, I always look for the opportunity to render direct service to you. And as small calves tied with ropes await anxiously the time of milking, I similarly yearn for the opportunity to render direct service to you. As a morose wife whose husband is away from home always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. Wonderful. And we are just now discussing how these are examples of increasing love. The first two examples were selfish love, where the lover wants something in return, like the baby birds want food and the calf wants milk. But the wife is selfless. She wants to satisfy her husband and render this service. So it is increasing in intensity. And we are just now discussing that in our chanting, we must chant in the right spirit, because if we don't, Krishna is not present and we only have the empty shell of the holy name, maybe like a capsula where the medicine is absent. You know? This is what we discussed so far, and I'm repeating this for not only for our dear Maharaj, but for you, so that you again think about these subjects which we have summarized, because now comes a very important point. We want to now investigate how can we in our heart develop love for Krishna. I mean, we can't force it. We can't philosophically tell us, I must love Krishna now. We have heard it many times, but up to now it may have worked only a little bit, not fully with us. So I feel it's very important to understand how love grows, especially love of Godhead, how it grows, where does it start, how does it continue the growth, and how does it develop, and so on. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us a very, very nice example. He has said that the love of Godhead starts from a seed, and then if the seed is properly cultivated, it can actually develop into a plant, which then develops this fruit, this very sweet fruit of love of Krishna. So today in this morning's class, I would like to say what this could practically mean in our chanting of Hare Krishna, because we know this is the prime sadhana which is meant to give us the sadhya, that means the result of our practice. And I feel really it's very important that we learn how the sadhana can develop our satya into our satya, that is the goal of love of Godhead. Now, my dear devotees, love starts always by giving attention first. And this is also what how the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra starts. You will have to learn to give your attention to the chanting. And in our tradition, this is so important that there are even practices which help the mind to develop that attention. When you chant mantra, the Gayatri Mantra for instance, Sanatana Goswami says you should develop some pranayama, breathing exercises, because the breath is very, very much connected with the movements of the mind. And by moving the breath in the proper way, you can move and then still the mind in the proper way. But in bhakti yoga, this may be done by the twice-born brahmanas, but not in the Prabhupada didn't teach us explicitly about this. He mentioned we should go to Hari Bhakti Vilas and read the books of the Goswamis. I feel what Prabhupada he did is he taught us how to practice the chanting. There's one japa tape where Prabhupada chants with all the devotees in New York in the same voice. It means like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he chanted for a longer time in the same voice, means in the same speed with everyone, because that takes care that everyone gets on board and is there in the practice. We also have mantra cards. The mantra practice of mantra cards comes from an ancient practice called traktaka. Traktaka means you fix your gaze. And when you fix your gaze, that is, look at one point, you develop amazing psychological changes in you. For instance, when you look at one point at the wall, you can stand on one leg for a long time. If you lose the point, bang, you fall. Traktaka is a way of fixing your gaze, and then as a result of this, developing mental stability. This you can also do as you chant Hare Krishna. You can look at the Hare Krishna mantra as it is displayed on mantra cards or you know, nicely painted, and you will see as you do this, your mind, which may think of some problems, or your mind, which may think of some diversions, will be fixed. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, did you just hear this point? Oh, you heard? Good. This is important for fixing the mind. You can look at this mantra card, and then as you look, you will see that the mind is fixed. I remember this, Gokishore Das Babaji dictated a letter to one of his disciples where he said, if you chant and only look at the letters of the Hare Krishna mantra, you will actually see that the divine couple, Radha and Krishna, are coming out of the letters. What this means is, in practical terms, that while you chant the Maha Mantra, you will actually have a realization in your heart of the devata of the mantra, of the personality of the mantra, which are Radha and Krishna. It's two. Hare Krishna, Radha Krishna. Mm-hmm. So this is just some thoughts. If you don't like to do these things because you have not heard about them in other lectures, I can understand this reaction, but please, in whatever way it works, my point is not to convince anyone of a certain technique. My point is to convince us of a principle that love can grow from the seed of attention. Just like in human affairs, when I can only give an ISKCON related example. If a young brahmachari all of a sudden feels no longer neutral to all women, but feels inclined maybe towards one lady, he will have almost antennas for this lady. Is she there now in the class? Yes or no? And he will know. He will give, the lady also. A woman may think, when she is young, all men are foolish and gross. But after some time, when she develops into physical maturity, she will no longer think like this. She will become highly attentive on one particular person. And from there, the other aspects of human love will start. Maybe an approach is done, maybe some things are done together, like eating prasadam together very shyly, or then later talking about one's goals in life, and then actually forming a relationship. Maybe questioning, is this relationship at all beneficial for our mutual advancement? Then later forming a relationship. So this is our human experience. And similar, but it starts always with attention, really. So in the same way, when you wish to develop love for Krishna and chant in the right spirit, then this, it must start with attention. Please let us stop being japa criminals. What is that? That's someone who doesn't pay attention. Who is just absent-minded and who is therefore an offender against the holy name. After all, we call Krishna, and then if we are absent, imagine you call a guest from Johannesburg, he comes at your door, and there is a note, I'm at the beach, maybe I see you in the evening, maybe. This is highly offensive, He has come all the way from Johannesburg. Now you should, on your invitation, now you should be present. So as we chant, we should learn this simple thing of giving attention. Oh, Hare Krishna, time went very fast. I'm really sorry. I could not explain everything which I wanted to explain. In Europe, we have developed japa retreats. Several devotees are teaching them, where they teach devotees how to go deeper into the Hare Krishna mantra. But ultimately, it's always a private decision which we all should make. So I will end my class here. I have noted it's 9:05. I'm very sorry, I went a little over time. I will not take questions because today is a busy day, but I wish you all a wonderful application of this simple point. Love starts with attention. From there it grows. Hari Bo, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.